We're on chapter 3, and it's called The Moops. It was Batty's bedtime. She'd taken a bath, brushed her teeth, and put on her mermaid pajamas. And now she was standing in the middle of her Arendelle bedroom, looking around. The butterfly wings were hanging on the closet doorknob, ready for morning. Her favorite picture of Hound, the one that had Father had framed, was on the little white dresser by the window. Rosalind had put Batty's special unicorn blanket on the bed, and Sedgwick the horse, Funty the blue elephant, Ursula the bear, and Fred the other bear were sitting on the pillow. It was an okay bedroom, Batty decided. Not as safe and cozy as her bedroom at home, but at least the closet had that secret passage into Rosalind's room. Nothing scary could hide in a closet like that, not with Rosalind right there. Rosalind would be along in a minute to tell Batty a story. She came every night, just as every night Daddy came after the story to tuck Batty in and kiss her goodnight. Batty thought that she'd like the story tonight to be about her mother. She had heard Rosalind's story about Mrs. Penderwick many, many times, but that didn't make them any less wonderful. Especially when the only place to go to sleep afterwards was a strange and unfamiliar bed. Batty sat on the edge of the bed and bounced. It felt all right, she guessed. She wouldn't mind so much about it being strange if Hound could sleep with her and if Rosalind was going to be in the room next door right away. But Hound was never allowed to sleep in the bedrooms, because he insisted on licking faces in the middle of the night. And Rosalind wouldn't be going to her room for a while because Skye had called for a moops at 8 o'clock. A moops was a meeting of older Penderick sisters. Rosalind, Skye, and Jane called it moops to keep Mr. Penderick from knowing what they were talking about. Batty wasn't supposed to know either, but she knew about Mops, which was a meeting of Penderwick sisters, because she was always invited to them. And Moops had only one more letter. Skye had spelled it out. M-O-O-P-S, as though that would keep Batty from knowing what it was. Batty swung her feet back and forth and wished Skye didn't always leave her out of things. The door to Batty's bedroom swung open, and Hound slipped through, his tail wagging wildly. "Hound," cried Batty, "how did you get up here?" There was no time for talk. Rosalind would be along soon. Batty shoved Hound into the closet and shut the door behind him. Later, she would let him out, and they could hold their own meeting and not invite anyone else. Batty jumped back onto the bed to wait for Rosalind, but when someone came in through her bedroom door a minute later, it wasn't Rosalind. It was Hound all over again, looking pleased with himself. "Hound!" cried Batty again, but this time with despair. He must have taken the secret passageway and come all the way around. She dashed into the closet, shut the door into Rosalind's room, and was trying to drag Hound back into hiding when Rosalind arrived. "It's all right," said Rosalind. "Daddy's letting Hound stay up here with you for a special treat. He thought you might be worried about sleeping alone in a new room." "I'm not worried." "Just remember, he's not allowed on the bed." "Okay," Batty said, and let go of Hound. He ran across the room and jumped into the bed. Rosalind pushed her back down to the floor and asked Batty, "Have you picked your story yet?" Batty slid in between the sheets. The bed suddenly seemed more welcoming now that Hound was going to be there all night. "Tell me how Mama gave me my name." Rosalind would rather have told a different story, one from when Mrs. Penderwick was younger and not so close to dying. But she knew this was one of Batty's favorites. After all, there were so few stories about Batty and her mother together. Rosalind sat on the bed next to Batty and began. Right after you were born, Daddy and I visited you and Mommy in the hospital. But Skye and Jane weren't there, said Betty, with great satisfaction. Right. Aunt Claire was staying with us to help out, and Skye and Jane were home with her. Mommy was sitting up in the hospital bed and wearing a beautiful blue robe and cuddling you in her arms. Daddy asked, "What should we name her, darling?" And Mommy said, "Name her after me." Then Daddy got sad. That's right. Daddy got sad and said there could only ever be one Elizabeth for him. So Mommy said, "Then name her Elizabeth, but call her Batty. I think she has a sense of humor." And then I smiled, and Mommy said, "You see, Martin, she's smiling. She likes it, don't you, Batty?" And she kissed you and smiled again. Then 2 weeks later, Mommy died from cancer, and I came home from the hospital. Yes, Rosalind turned her head away so that Batty couldn't see the sadness in her face. And you called me beautiful baby Batty, and Skye and Jane called me banana Batty. And we all lived happily ever after. Now go to sleep. Daddy will be up in a minute, Rosalind finished. She straightened Batty's covers, kissed her forehead, and turned out the room light. As she was closing the door on her way out, she heard a big thump and knew that Hound had jumped back into the bed. She sighed, then headed down the hallway towards Skye's bedroom. It was time for the moops. "I thought you'd never get here," said Jane when Rosalind opened the door. "Skye won't give me any hints about the moops topic, and she keeps trying to explain irrational numbers to me. I don't need that stuff until at least seventh grade." "You won't get anywhere in life with that attitude," said Skye. "That's enough, Skye," said Rosalind, and sat on the Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday bed with Jane. Skye was on the Monday, Wednesday, Friday bed facing them. Moops came to order. "Second the motion," said Skye. "Third it," said Jane, bouncing excitedly. "I'll swear to keep secret what is said here, even from Daddy, unless you think someone might do something truly bad," said Rosalind, with a peculiar look at Skye, who ignored her. Rosalind made her right hand into a fist and held it up toward her sister. Skye put her fist on top of Rosalind's, and Jane put hers on top of Skye's. In unison, they chanted, "This I swear by the Penderick family honor," and then broke their fists apart. "Okay, Skye, now tell," said Jane. Skye leaned forward and whispered, "I got into those gardens." "You called a moops for that?" said Jane. "That's no big deal. I'm going to sneak in there tomorrow." "Let me finish. I met that Mrs. Tifton. That is, I heard her talking. I couldn't actually meet her because Cagney had just stuck me into an urn." "Oh, Skye, what were you up to?" moaned Rosalind. Skye hurried on. "But that's not what I need to tell you. There's a boy over there. I mean, besides Cagney. A boy my age." "Oh," said Jane. "So I did see a boy at the window." "What?" asked Skye. "Earlier today, when we drove up, I saw a boy watching us from a window in the mansion." "I told you that," said Jane. "You said you imagined him," said Skye. "No, you said I imagined him, and I said that I didn't think so, and it looks like I didn't, right?" "One of these days, Jane, you're going to send me right over the edge," said Skye. "All right, Skye," said Rosalind. "Did you talk to this boy?" "Yes," Skye said, and shut her mouth like a trap. "What happened?" "Nothing." "Skye!" "All right," said Skye. "We crashed into each other, and he seemed like he was knocked out. But then he woke up, and I figured he was some kid from the neighborhood. So I said some bad things about Mrs. Tifton and upset him. It wasn't my fault. I had just hit my head. Maybe I had a little concussion. How could I know who he was?" "My wacko sister Jane doesn't know reality from fantasy, and Harry the Tomato Man didn't say anything about a son, and neither did Cagney." "A son?" asked Rosalind. "This kid his name is Jeffrey, is Mrs. Tifton's son. Her son, said Jane. Oh, my. Well, what happened? Did you straighten it all out? Asked Rosalind. No, she was yelling for him, and he left, said Skye. You've got to apologize to him, said Rosalind. I can't. I'm too embarrassed. Then one of us has to apologize for you, for the family honor. I will, said Jane, eagerly. Oh, no, you won't, said Skye. You'll start babbling about Sabrina Starr, and he'll think we're all fruitcakes. He probably already thinks that after meeting you, said Jane. Rosalind, please, you do it, said Skye. Rosalind looked gravely at her two younger sisters. Skye was right, she thought. No one ever knew what Jane would say once her imagination took hold. On the other hand, maybe it was time Rosalind stopped bailing Skye out. I vote that Jane apologized to this boy, she said slowly. 2-1. Jane, while Skye slapped her hand to her forehead like she had just gotten a terrible headache. But, said Rosalind, and Skye looked at her hopefully, but we all decide everything together ahead of time. No wild flights of fantasy. No fantasy at all, added Skye. I promise, said Jane. And we have to tell Daddy beforehand, said Rosalind. Can we leave out the stuff I said about Mrs. Tifton? Pleaded Skye. I'll give you my next week's allowance. Bribery is immoral, Rosalind said sternly. I'll take your allowance, said Jane. Why should you? Said Skye. Order, Rosalind pounded her fist on the bed. There will be no exchange of money. Skye, I'll let you decide how much to tell Daddy as long as you do it before Jane goes over there. Thank you, said Skye. You're welcome, said Rosalind. Now, Jane, here's what you'll say to Jeffrey. Well, I guess that's it for tonight. That was pretty good. I hope they do apologize. Night, girls. I love you.